Today, the little bit of a brainstorming session. I'd like to see all of you be able to implement the aspects of the Bhakti Branch Namhata Cell Program, and as well as be trainers. How many here are currently doing some form of congregational preaching? How many are anyone here from the congregation? Jai Rupa Ki, Guru Parampara Ki. They're a little bit hard to see. Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Bhaktivinoda Thakur Prabhu Nityananda Senapati, there's the Senapati. That all of them had been done the Namhata preaching in different ways. Someone may say, how did Prabhupada do the Namhata preaching? In the sense that when he started out the temples, there were all these little groups. Like in 1968 when I joined, we only had 10-15 people in the temple. And then when the temple grew to about 20 people, the president took away 15 and left me with 5. And I was made the next president. And that's what Prabhupada said, I won 108 temples in 2-3 years. So it became practically using this principle of multiplication. As soon as the temple got a little big, one section was sent off. And while we were there, I remember that Guru Das and Shamsundar and Mukunda and their wives, they had all came to get the blessings of Prabhupada in Montreal, and they were headed to London to start the European preaching. And that's when they met the Beatles and George Harrison, John Lennon and everything. And from them, then we heard how different devotees, as that temple grew, then Dhananjaya Prabhu went to Italy, and then someone else went to France, and so on. So in one sense, what Prabhupada did internationally, or worldwide, is the Bhakti Branch Program is, but it can be even done in one city, or one country, in just a very small, contained manner, highly backed up. Prabhupada was backing up everybody that was preaching. He used to write me so many letters. It's like 1,720 letters where my name is mentioned. He wrote so many of them. That's how many times my name was mentioned, but in the folio. Because he used to say, every 2 weeks he'd write me a letter. And if I didn't write him back, he'd say, why have I not heard from you for 2 weeks? We can't even do that now with phones and fax and com and everything. We don't. I don't think GBCs get a report every 2 weeks. Prabhupada was pushing. He wanted to know everything. One time I wrote back, I said, I stepped on a nail, and Prabhupada said, you're giving your body to Krishna. Don't, misuse it in such a way and cause harm to it. You have to be careful. So he was taking so much care. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we know that how he had established the preaching from Mayapur, and then he also had established book publishing and book distribution. And when he wrote his final instruction to his disciples, he told them, I want you to expand Mayapur Dham. I want you to expand the Navada Parikrama, Mayapur Dham, publish books and distribute the books, and I want you to preach Namhata. Because by Namhata, everyone will get an opportunity to participate in Lord Chaitanya's movement. And I think we don't know that even he had this last point. Prabhupada said, filled the house next is Varnashram. We see Namhata is the way to engage all of the people that don't live in the temple in preaching and in activities. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's the one who revived the whole term and the whole process. He had hundreds and hundreds of Namhatas. As he was working for the government, every evening he'd go out and preach, and he had a whole structure. And of course, Nityananda is the original Namhata. He flooded the whole of Bengal and just a few years on the order of Lord Chaitanya, in 12 years or so, everything was flooded. So this is how the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya moves very quickly from one place to the next. This is our, we should understand that this is our heritage. And we also see that right now it's ISKCON's future. We've got to a certain point, we have so many temples, and we have actually no more devotees living outside the temple, many more, than so many times more than what we have in our communities. I'm talking about initiated devotees, what to speak of the congregation. And now it's our future that we have to utilize these principles to be able to expand the movement. So the whole thing we're going to discuss here is some of the dynamic applications, how we can actually utilize the original Namhad program to empower especially our urban congregations. Because we have already have Namhads for so many years. I've been doing Namhad preaching, as you know, since 1979. And we have 2,000 Namhadas, for instance, in Bengal, mainly which are rural. That means in the country. But now, since 1 year, we've been able to see how we can apply the same principles in the cities or in a much more compact area. Like in Europe, people are very dense compared to a very high density of population. So this is a system which we call a cell program. Whereas we got some of these ideas by studying that the cell church that caused us to think, and then we start looking back and see actually that whatever they're doing was exactly what Lord Nityananda did, but we kind of slipped our notice because we were just doing it without any kind of detail. So what really, I'm not taking anything very much directly from them, but what they've done is as a catalyst kind of caused us to look back at our own history and see how it works. So one thing, it's not only the future, but the future is now. We want to do this right now. We want to establish, and it's already happening now. Maharaj has just come from, Sachinanda Maharaj has just come from Croatia, and over there, I think they already started. Do you have any?
Like this, in Zagreb, there are many, many congregational devotees who obviously cannot come and live in the temple, and who also do their studies, their work, and so on and so forth. So, with this new idea of forming small units, these congregational devotees have been organized in these bhakti branch groups and have steadily had their meetings. Then they came to a point where more people had come to this bhakti branch group than the original number where it started. So the bhakti branch group divided cell division, like in the body, and two groups, smaller groups, were born. Which again began...
From each one.
From each one, yes.
Yeah, they had five and then they multiplied into 10. Divide, like cell division.
Yeah. So because they have such nice meetings where people feel intimate, where they can share each other's thoughts, they feel a lot more friendships sometimes in a crowded temple because there's more time to talk privately to each other. They attract so many people and they again become full, until the next step of division will again come. And this way it multiplies. It is fantastic.
Hare Krishna. So, here's a quote from Prabhupada. Someone can read this. Maharaj was not helping me reading out the... Maybe it's a microphone.
Yeah, I even have a loud voice from the program. It is not necessary that hundreds and thousands of people will live in our temple. But if we can make effective propaganda, then the neighboring residents, householders, will be inclined to be initiated and follow the modes of temple life. Srila Prabhupada, letter to Dhammakrishna Goswami, 1669.
This was Prabhupada's vision in 1969. Actually, Dayananda Prabhu just wrote me a letter that in Watsika, California and Los Angeles, that when they got the new temple and Prabhupada went there for the first time, and it was the fourth temple in ISKCON, when Prabhupada told Dayananda, now I want you to make all the neighbors Krishna conscious and have them all be initiated and chant Hare Krishna and have temples in every home. This was the vision that Prabhupada had, but actually the people in the West were not, some young people joined it. We really didn't know how to get all the residents and neighbors involved. But originally that was the vision that Prabhupada had. So now that we have so many years behind us, how many millions of books now have been distributed? I think it was 60 million. After 60 million books been out there amongst the public, there's a few people now who are ready to participate. After all the festivals that Maharaj and so many others are putting on, all the temples, restaurants, and everything, now there are people who are ready to fulfill this desire and dream that Prabhupada had. So if we would think here that if we have 30 active congregational members, devotees, then what would you do? How would you train them in Krishna consciousness? How would you mobilize them? How would you get them to preach? If you were to make like an action plan for 30, as we had here, 30 people, then what would be your plan? Today, well, this will be more like an introductory than we'll get into, but this is also to get everyone to think practically. Here we have 30 people that are active, some are chanting one round, five rounds, 60. It's a very common situation, and almost every temple has this. But how do you get them trained, mobilized, and able to preach? How would you do it? Yes?
Smaller groups and points.
How many groups? What size?
Rising according to how many rounds we chant, maybe four.
Well, if you had six groups, where would you get 6 leaders? From them. So you train, so first you'd say you'd train up 5 or 6 people, and then after that you would form further form groups. Is there any other idea? What would you do? 30 people. Engage them in services. Involve them in temple services. Involve them in services. Okay, that, so you would engage them in service, and then you would identify potential leaders. That's a good idea. Okay, have house programs. Now with 30 people, the leader could be quite personal with them. He could know almost every person, isn't it? Could know, so he could even visit them at home, isn't it? Yes? Well, we have engaged them in services. You can put here books, all kinds of... Before they do books, they have to train them a little bit, motivate them. That's what we want to do. We want to get them to preach, but first you probably have to... Before they're going to go out and they have to identify a little bit with the society. So that's where the training program comes in. Yes? Okay, so interview each one to see their nature. Actually identify what level of advancement each one is at. I think you mentioned, that's really important. Identify who's the 16 round, who's 8, see their interest. So interview them for interest and also identify their level of spiritual advancement. Yes. So, giving appreciation.
Identify their spiritual needs and take care of those.
Yes, and the point is, in nourishment, we want to train them how they can take care of their own bhakti lota, so that they can practice and become stronger and stronger. Okay, so now we had some ideas here. Now, suddenly we have 108 active congregational members. See, now the number, everything is saying the number changed. Now what do you do with 108? This is wrong, 130, it could be 30 to 130. It becomes a little more complicated, doesn't it? To keep track of, now it's difficult to visit everybody in their house by the one person. Now what would you do? Yes?
First of all, at least a few of them for the back end and the others.
So in the temple, start a special bhakti program for congregational members. Sure? Pardon? Now you're going to mail it out to them. So before you approach the interviewing, now it's become a mail out. What's your percentage of response going to be? Yes?
Divide into groups. Personally.
Okay. Divide into groups so that somebody will be responsible in each group to take care of them.
Leaders, control or visit them and inspire them. Like in those kind of debate, new leaders and then the old leaders from the beginning, teach the new leaders.
The old leaders from 30, they should train new leaders from those, and then form more groups. Very good. Okay, now we go. 1,008. Hari Bol! Now what are you going to do? You see how, if you really want to take care of people, as the numbers increase, you have to, basically, they have to be in the small groups. It's like so logical that it's so sublime. That way, everybody, even you can have a million and eight, everybody will be having a personal care. Everyone will be in a, it's like an army. When I was many of people in Europe have to also be in army. I was in army training in college and in high school. Every army is always that the basic unit is 12 people, around 10 to 15. It's called a squad in English and American. It's like always a small group. And by Lord Chaitanya, when he was an underground, kind of not really underground, but it was like a persecuted movement. First he went indoors, and then he took the Harinam out, and it was banned. So he told everyone, 5 or 10 of you meet in your front of your doorsteps and just clap your hands and chant. So he also had this, right in Chaitanya Bhagavata, it says, mentioned 5 or 10. So he also formed like small groups. And that was institutionalized later by Nityananda Prabhu. So by the training, mobilizing, everything is facilitated by this combination. We're going to talk in the next days various aspects about the group's psychology and everything. But sometimes people, they always say, where did Prabhupada say it? So maybe Sajjana could read this.
One who feels that he is not yet ready to live in a temple or undergo strict regulated principles, especially householders who live with wife and children, can start a center at home by installing the deity, worshipping the Lord, chanting Hare Krishna, discussing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all the devotees present there to do so. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya
190, maybe. So here the Prabhupada mentions, start a center at home. What is a home center? Isn't that an anahata? If somebody is somehow or another not able to live in the temple, they should start a center at home. So all the, we were discussing also like our social development. There are a few people in ISKCON that are not able to live in temples today. And Prabhupada said here, they can start a center at home, have deities and have programs. And we're just learning how to organize that so it's a really an organized, productive program. Of course, everybody has a mandate to do individually, but to do that in such a way that we can actually get the maximum preaching and development from that is what we're going to discuss. Now, here's a question. Why are the Namhat Bhakti branch groups more appropriate for urban areas? Here's another brainstorming session. Why do they grow faster than Namhatas did previously? That's what we're going to discuss. First of all, let me tell you a little bit, of course, what are the advantages of this program. First, let's discuss a little bit about what the program is. But keep this question in your mind, in this question, so we'll discuss it in a few minutes. Did we see that in the West, Namhatas were usually home temples, so programs kind of mirrored the temple program. Some would come, give a lecture, everyone would listen, a little prasad at the end. Or there would be like a kind of just a home preaching where you would do the same thing, but it would even be more periodic and less a commitment to the group. So what would happen is that often the members would get minimum personal involvement. Of course, the family who hosted, they get so much involvement, the big cooking and arranging. But other people in these kind of programs, you come in and you listen, but you can do that. You go to the temple and they have the same program is there. So the temple may be, especially if the Namhat doesn't have a leading devotee giving the lecture, people may say, well, I can go to the temple and hear a better lecture. Why should I go during the week and listen to the Namhat lecture? So in many cases, the temple devotees preach and the congregation listens, chants, takes prasadam. And they don't really get so much of an opportunity to do very much in terms of contributing to the Sankirtan movement. But it's very auspicious, and we still use this program. We're still saying this is a very good program as an outreach program. And for rural places which is very far away from a temple, they have to mirror the temple because there's no temple nearby. But where you have a temple, like say here, Radha, there's a temple. It's a small, Benelux is not so big. I mean, within this area, within 2 hours, you can cover vast areas. And because of the highway network and everything. So that by having a program that mirrors, it is known because he can come here and hear one of the sannyasis or one of the Brahmins, a very advanced devotee. But now what is the difference? This is what we have now in the West. Now here, our bhakti branch, regular weekday meetings by committed members and guests, Namhat bhakti branch cells don't mirror temple programs but complement. Members get maximum personal involvement training. Members realize deeper and share. They learn to practice and preach. Well-planned practical program. It's all there. Regular weekday meetings. Committed members. So first of all, there's regular meetings. These are not for every person in the congregation. These are for committed people. People that are really serious about their spiritual life. They come to these meetings especially. And then they bring guests. We have a different structure. Instead of exactly mirroring the temple, they do things that you can only do in small groups. In a big group like this, it's natural to have one person speak and others listen. And even when I call for involvement, you know, a few people involved, but there's so many, it's not possible for everybody. In a small group, if there's 10, 15 people, everybody can participate. You can have group discussions. You can, so many ways you can get to know each other. So in this way, it's different. It's something special. We'll go into detail later about that. So in this way, people get, they can't avoid. Like here, somebody can sit in the back there and sleep. It's all right, I know you were tired, it's okay. But in a small group, you know, where there's only a few people, that nobody can escape. Everyone's there talking, you know, if somebody falls asleep, they really have to be tired. And because there's peers there and people are discussing and they're revealing their minds, so that way it's easier to get a kind of a practical realization. And when you hear, when they also discuss and make strategies in the group for how to preach, and then you hear other people's preaching experiences, then that's also something that builds up one's own desire and confidence to try different ways of preaching. That's a whole big topic. We discussed that in Croatia, all the different kinds of preaching they can do. We'll come to that one later also. And the well-planned program. Programs are made very compact and tight. This whole planned practical strategy about the program so that they're convenient for the congregation. See, these little groups are pretty dynamic. So why? Why is this question we're going to ask again? Why is it that these groups are more appropriate for urban areas? And why do they grow faster than the other Namhadas did before? What are the advantages? Can anybody think of some of the advantages from what you've heard so far?
People in a small area.
Pardon?
There's a lot of people in a small area. Together, I can see.
That's why the cities are appropriate, but why is this program a Namhat program?
Participate very individually, close together.
Oh, more involvement. More involvement. This is more personal. But how is it, now say you want to deliver the whole city, you got a whole city, they're all packed in together. Now how can these groups be better than other types of preaching?
You can involve the whole city. You can involve more people.
How is that? How can we involve more people?
In the small groups.
How do we get to the people? They're just people there, right? And they're not all devotees. Everyone in Brussels is a devotee so far, I don't think. So how to get those people to be devotees through these groups? Why these groups are more effective to get this city?
By personal contact.
By personal contact. Personal contact, many personal contact. Anything else?
What I wanted to say is, because you empower the different congregation members, You have so many people who can all of a sudden reach so many other people.
Everyone is a preacher. You're empowering so many people. You see, usually we tell people that you come and accept Krishna consciousness, but then you don't also tell them to preach Krishna consciousness or train them how to do it. Lord Chaitanya, he gave an order for everyone to do what? Remember the order in C.C. Ani? Yes, I order everyone in this universe to accept the Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. All human beings in the universe were ordered. It's my order, he said. So I thought, actually, we're kind of obstructing people. We give so many people Krishna consciousness, but we don't facilitate them to carry out the rest of his order. His order is twofold, to accept and to distribute. And not that we should distribute, but that we should and see that everyone, because this Lord Chaitanya said he wants everyone to distribute. So that, because everyone is a preacher, everyone is distributing, suddenly, even if they all, every one person, if they make one new member a year, you would double every year, isn't it? And a dynamic preacher can often make much more than one. So more efficient for engaging people, so the turnover is less. When you make a customer, you keep him. Very good. Any other ideas why this is better? Yes, Maharaji?
In this conversation, you have the professional people, facilities available.
You can also have a deeper... You can have a versatility because you can have special groups for professionals, for women, for bachelors, for householders, for all different kinds of groups. So you have like a versatility and a resource of all these different kinds of people. You can form a small group if you want. I read that in this one place, they made a small group only of billionaires. And their goal, and the institution told them, all you have to do is every year make two new members in your group. And, you know, it takes a billionaire to, you know, people, billionaires like to associate other billionaires more than, the other people. So, and apparently they're quite effective, and that's how that institution, they started building stadiums for their congregation.
They could interact more in the same group, like you say, with billionaire to billionaire.
Well, we kind of got that a little bit, the personal contact, interaction. Anything, any new ideas? And that's a very good point, but I think it's... Okay, let's say less of a culture shock. It's a more casual way for someone to enter in. Some people feel they don't understand because in a temple everybody's busy. Everyone's got three times more work than they can do, and so somebody comes in and they see someone shave people, you know, walking by, and nobody smiles, you know, and they think, why here nobody smiles? Because you go, you know, and it's like they sometimes don't understand what's going on. And so here they come, and it's a small group, and it's kind of casual in somebody's living room, and then they're told, you know, well, don't worry about the people in the temple, there are a lot of things, and then they're very busy all the time. And actually, we need to have like someone reception that smiles when people come in. At least one official smiler. Because everywhere else they have it, you know, and they don't understand that why. Even in Mayapur, there's so many devotees are running here, and that people can be there and nobody will talk to them. Trying to form a whole department of like 20 devotees from India and from overseas to be tour guides and the official smilers. Yes, okay.
Also more easy for family to get involved because they are used to visit already the home of the person, and then it's more familiar for them. Family involvement.
Okay, easy for family involvement. Already changed, right? But that's where householder and the groups, they can say that, and it means something. And that's the Prabhupada said, that's where the grihasthas can preach more effectively in this area than the sannyasis. We need to get this synergy, this cooperation. Because Lord Chaitanya said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, all kinds of devotees must cooperate together to spread the Sankirtan movement. Okay?
To stick, the full-time devotees, to stick on their principles and purity, because everyone looks on them.
Yeah. Ah, it puts positive pressure. On temple residents to maintain high standard. It's true, you know, if you're just out there and everyone's a demon and you're just going to, you know, before this 1980s, and it was they used to go out and pick the bone, they used to call going on a pick. Instead of try going to save souls and try, you know, it's like it was a completely different type of consciousness. And that was actually detrimental. Most of those devotees, you see, that had a very hard time, many of those leading devotees, coming out of that consciousness into a kind of a compassionate viewpoint. But when you actually say have a huge congregation, just like when you're in India, so dressing like this means that people know. Now, in the West, maybe people thought, once I go out of the temple, nobody's watching. But when there's a congregation, you'd be surprised. I saw, you know, so-and-so brahmachari go to the cinema. You know, calls the precedent up, and they're everywhere, right? You got 1,008 congregational members there. You got eyes and ears everywhere. Because they expect. So let's go see here. I wrote a few things down. Efficient. See if you think you got more than I did, though. They're more efficient engaging people than just a listener-based temple programs. You definitely scored on that one. A temple without a namhat, small bhakti branch, cell group, usually only effectively engages a minimum percent of the congregation. Like if you have a big Sunday feast and 200 people come, how many of them are actually involved in any devotional service? I mean, apart from the prasadam and hearing. I mean, practical, like... a few helps prasad distribution, clean up. Of course, devotional service itself is about getting people to chant. I mean, if it was just like for a church, where they don't do much, you know, I mean, they just kind of sit there and sing, and then the choir sings hymns and things, and then they just sit and hear the last sermon and go out. You know, their whole program is so little involving. At least in Krishna consciousness, you do have a kirtan and arati and so many things. The whole temple situation is quite involving. But in terms of really getting involved in some service... Who was it? The temple president. I was just at a temple, and they said, I think it was Zurich, they're saying that we can't get the congregation to come and cut sabjis for the Sunday feast. It's very hard, you know, just to say, please everybody come and cut sabjis. Because, but it can't, I told them that in Madras, we have a group. We have many, about eight or nine cell groups they started, and they have some which are just for the college students. And these are all IIT, like just the MIT of India, top student. But they've taken up as their group's program to do the Sunday feast. So they're officially the host for the Sunday feast. So they come early, they cut the sabjis, they wash the plates, they put out the seats. They, you know, some brahmanas in the temple do the cooking and everything and offering. But then they distribute the prasadam and they clean up after. And when they're doing it, they're talking to each other. They have all, you know, the young people, and they're really liking it. It's like their project. I mean, they're young. They're like 20s and 18 and so on. But they really like it. But if you just, you know, because you present it, you're in charge of the Sunday feast. And so they take it up as a project, and then they get everything with it, from sabjis to prasadam. And they approach it and they like it. So when you have a group, you can, in South Africa, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was telling me that they have a program of 35, they have maha groups. And every Sunday, a different group takes total responsibility for the Sunday feast, including paying for it, cooking it, because they have enough initiated devotees. And so that way, after the 35 groups, after 35 weeks, then a new group comes. So provides association and satsang. I think we covered that one too. This is the key. We keep hearing how we need association. In the temple, we get association, but in the congregation, they also need association. So this gives them the opportunity to associate. with other devotees and to learn to think like a devotee. Development of the individual is something that wasn't mentioned so much. What's it say there? We focus on the importance of building, training the individual. We really want to see the individual become strong. The whole point is that we said, remember in the 30 about nourishment, Sachinanda Maharaj brought up, to train them how they can take care of their own devotional creeper. When we want them to go out and preach, it means we have to build them up individually. And that's why in the small groups we focus on the... Remember we said, well, in the beginning, we'll do an interview of each one, see their progress. And then when it got up to 108, then suddenly we send a mail out. But in the small groups, someone's going to keep track of everybody and that'll be recorded. So we see, because the individual is important. You may have 1,000,008 or 1,008 or however many, but each individual, and that's sometimes in the crowd, that's where we lose the individuals. We stop to be able to help them identify. In the small group, their individuality can be promoted, developed. Here's something that was said, deep penetration. Namhat cells, they can penetrate deeply into the structures of the city, reaching people in a more personal way than at just a temple-based program can. They said there may be professionals, or there may be... You know, in every city, in these big cities, you get these ethnic groups that are the people from other cultures that are living in the city. And if you have a program for them, like in Zurich, they have a Tamil-based program, and all the Tamil people come. There's like, I'm sure that there's all kinds of different people living in all the city. And you can have programs for those kind of ethnic groups, or you can have for so many for students. So you can penetrate, you can go into all different parts of the city, places where you didn't want to put a temple, you can have. Here's the thing you didn't mention, that in a small group, it really blossoms, is that when you have a personal contact with people, on a one-to-one or a small basis, it inspires people to change their values. To say like that Bhakta Bill is responsible, has been given, you should help out Bhakta Sam. And Bhakta Bill, this is a real-life story, I just changed the name. He was chanting one round, and he was supposed to be helping the new brand-new person who's just come. And he wants to ask him to chant one round, but he thought, I'm supposed to help him. If I'm only chanting one, I tell him to chant one, then where am I? So before he could tell him, he went up and chanted two rounds a day. But in this way, it's possible to... And there's so many ways. When you tell, so there's a little bit of the practical realizations are discussed, and sometimes in there people trying to reveal, we don't want it to get, we try to keep it on the philosophy, not that it just becomes like an encounter group or that they can go to some senior devotee for counseling or something, but in a one-to-one basis or in a small discussion, sometimes personal problems that people are facing come up and it's discussed how to deal with that in a Krishna conscious way, and others may say, well, I faced a problem like that and this is how I dealt with it, or the guru told me, and it should always be kept as much as possible in sadhu, shastra, and guru and practical Krishna conscious applications. So people get value changes in that kind of association. Free as a bird, right? Not limited by building space. Sometimes we have a small temple, it's too expensive to get a bigger temple. But you can have unlimited namhata, just making more namhatas, and you're not limited by the size of your building. Like in Madras, we're still renting. I wanted to show you the video of our Madras center. We're in a rented house there. It's in a small piece of land. We don't even have a temple room. What they did is they put stone on the front of their front yard and made the front yard a temple. And they have huge Rath Yatras with so many Namhatas, and there's only like 20 devotees in the temple. But they're not limited because they have all so many groups and so much congregation all around. You mentioned this, avoiding the culture shock and the... So we don't have to mention that again. These things you already mentioned. Financial strain avoided. Economical. How much does it cost to maintain a temple? Just for the rent, 12,000 a month. What to speak of the prasadam. So making temples, Prabhupada said once you open a temple, you should never close. But keeping them open is a big yajna. And developing them, it's a big yajna. So the namhata doesn't require so much to maintain. A few devotees in an office, a computer and a telephone, and they can coordinate so many Namhatas, and the Namhatas themselves, in fact, contribute to the income. There's a nice thing that some people do, just give them a little envelope so nobody feels pressure. You don't have to pay to be a member of the Namhatta, but if you like to contribute every week, they can put an envelope and give the help to maintain the costs. And that's been brings in something to cover expenses. Fosters good relations with the temple. You didn't mention this. It really brings in good relations with the temple because, you see, all the time, temple's always asking the congregation, we have this project, this campaign, this sahasra, this... And if you give them care, then when you have these campaigns, they're going to come out more enthusiastically to help. But when we give them, that's a little bit for fundraising, maybe orientation. But the point is, when we take care of the congregation, they're going to appreciate that. And at least this program is doing that. For instance, in Bangalore Temple, they had started a program, and they, first of all, they trained up 30 leaders for a few months. Then they assigned 10 families to each leader, and to each one, they also at the same time, they got everybody who was interested to chant one round or more, one round, four round, eight round, they got their names, and they got 300 people like that. So then they, from 30 leaders, 10 families each, and they went and visited everybody. They went and visited, and they said, the leaders wrote me a letter, and said the people were so happy when they said, I've been sent by the temple to take care of you. I mean, to like, well, we have a program now, and I personally come here, and the temple is concerned about your spiritual aid to help you to advance. I've come here. And they were so tickled, so thrilled. The temple sent you, like the temple, they care about me. And love, upward mobility. Miss this one. When you have all these small groups, and the small groups are multiplying, and then there's a lot of opportunity for people to take responsibility. In a big temple, we like to have the same leader for many years because that has stability for the community, everything. But then often there's devotees who don't get an opportunity to really kind of express their leadership abilities. But in this Namhatta, there's unlimited. And even temple devotees can also participate in leading Namhatta, no problem. Because there's so much opportunity, because if the thing works properly and it's doubling every year, you just need twice as many leaders every year. More than twice, because you need the supervisors of the leaders. So they get the upward mobility, opportunity to take more responsibility for Krishna. And to get people to want to take responsibility, to get them motivated to understand taking responsibility is actually blissful. And it's something that we should want to do. Now that's a very good level of advancement, and that's where people have to be Krishna conscious enough that in the beginning no one's going to want to take responsibility, but once they advance, then they appreciate that. Versatility, we discussed this a bit. Children, professional, you're going to have children's groups. You have one adult as a chaperone, and sometimes they have these family meetings, and then they divide the children off in one side, and then they do the kirtans together, and the children go with one adult, and they have their own little kind of more interactive meeting, while the adults have theirs, and they come back and report to each other. Another thing is, even where we're banned, where we're illegal, we can have this kind of... This is how we were doing in the Soviet Union, when it was Soviet Union. That's how it's going on, and to some extent, in China. We don't talk about that. And in many other places where we're not allowed to function, it's invisible. Nobody can tell until you rent a stadium and fill it up with 50,000 people. How many actually have? Here's another thing, is that Namhat members are pretty stable. They don't all want to run off to Vrindavan. And so they're kind of reliable. You mentioned this, highly accessible. Kripa Mai Prabhu, I wish he was here. In this association, he mentioned a few years ago in one seminar we had in Mayapur, how one friend of the movement, who was a quite influential person, mentioned that, why is it in Krishna consciousness you're so inaccessible? If I want to go to a church, there's one in every corner. If I want to go to, you know, the Maharishi TM, I can get one within every 30 kilometers. If I want to go, you know, she had it all down, which was 100 kilometer radius, it was 30. But for you have one in the whole country. I have to drive, you know, 200 kilometers. they should be more accessible. So through the Namhada groups now, like in Melbourne, they have 26 groups in Melbourne City. They print a map that they give out to people, a little brochure, you know, a little flyer. But they don't give the addresses. They only give the phone number of the coordinators. Because they don't want people just to show up and the groups, but they can phone up and they can kind of screen a little bit. But they tell, we have the groups, and they're getting a lot of Australians. A lot of these groups are Indian-oriented, but they're getting a lot of Australians to phone up and say, oh, you have a program near my house, I'd like to go. And they refer them, and they're joining their groups. And some, where was I, where were we? Like London, people won't go from one side of London even to the other. It takes an hour. Many of these big cities, it's just, if they have to drive and you have to find a parking place, and accessibility, cost-effective, we discussed this. Oh, that was a very important, cost-effective. Can you imagine, Hridaya Chaitanya, how much would it cost you if you wanted to send a temple devotee to follow every lead that the Sankirtan devotees made, you know, of good contacts and all the people that came here, all the nice people that are the 35,000. If you wanted to send a temple devotee to go there and meet them, how much would that cost just in sending them and maintaining them and everything? Where if you have a lot of Namhada groups, they can do that kind of cultivation, like the Krishna Connection in Heidelberg, but they can do it, the groups can do it, and they won't cost, that'll be their preaching, they'll love it. You find the contacts and you say, okay, they're responsible for this area, either geographic or ethnic or professional, whatever, and you give those kind of referrals. So this is an interested doctor, in this area, all doctors, this group is giving. So it won't cost the temple much. So, here we got some of the, it's a review. Sense of belonging. People like to belong, as we didn't talk about that. You belong, you're part of something, you belong. Wide area coverage. You can cover a wide area, just from one temple you can have a wide area. So, how many of you are convinced that this is the way to go? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Well, let's see who we got here. Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Nation's consciousness, which has entered into Lord Chaitanya's movement, will the designation's consciousness, which has entered into Lord Chaitanya's movement, will progressively be eradicated, and ultimately the victory flag of the pure holy name of Lord Krishna shall remain unfurled over all countries. Namhada Vishnu Priya Tantrika, Volume 1. Bhaktivinoda Thakur means that the designation's consciousness, which has entered into Lord Chaitanya's movement.
You see, in India, and there's who is a Vaishnav Brahmana, Vaishnav Sudra, Vaishnav Mlecha, all these kind of things, caste Brahmanism and everything, just became very strong at his time. Like even his, that's why he stopped going to Vipin Bihari Goswami, because he was differentiating between the different castes, which is that he considered this is a contamination. Lord Chaitanya, once you become a Vaishnava, you're a Vaishnava. Why bring in all these designations? And then there's another verse, but I don't have it with me, where he said that how the around the world people are like in their fortresses, their religions are like fortresses, and they've like in the old feudal time, Hare Krishna, they're like in a fortress, and they don't want and they're like protecting from, you know, anyone. So this instead of religion being a common theistic movement, everyone developing love for Godhead and respecting, what it really is like, this is my fort, I have this, you know, and I'm fighting against everyone else, so it's the Catholics versus the Mormons versus the Protestants versus the... And they're trying to, like, make different peace treaties, but it's all in a fortress. They're not really open. Why? Because they don't. Their philosophy is not able to sustain. They said, by love we can break down the fortresses and see everybody. Just actually establish love of Godhead as the principle, not all this sectarianism, all these designations. Instead of I love, instead of actually trying to serve God, I'm a Protestant, I'm a this, I'm a that. So designation consciousness is also in the whole world. Everybody's got so many designations. They're trying to design, you know, give us, oh, they're a sect. They want to put us into one of their, because that's all they're doing. Everyone has got to have a designation. But what is it? Bhakti means sarvapadi vinirmuktam tat paratyanyam alam. beyond all these designations. Hare Krishna. So I was going to show two things that I already, because half the show was spent listening to Maharaj's kirtan, which was the best thing, and trying to play, fighting with these machines. This one's very quick. After we've decided we're going to penetrate and everywhere we're going to flood, then it comes to the inundation.
Sometimes a great flood after the rainy season. This indicates that from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, the inundation of love of Godhead should be spread all over the world. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 7:25.
I'm going to show a few verses here where it tells about inundation. And actually, just in Mayapur, last year we had inundation. Here's a picture of it. You can see, I was there in October 1995. And in fact, we just got I got a message on Com. So by the way, the Pujari said that the government announced that there may be a massive flood within 30 days. Just as a P.S. at the end of the letter, immediately I send off, you know, messages to everybody, watch out, you know. Flood is something really heavy, right? Look at this, is the Ganges. You've seen all those beautiful garden pictures of Mayapur? No. But what I realize is inundation. Lord Chaitanya would inundate the world. I mean, just, you know, you can get a feel for it. What is an inundation? It means it's covered. You know, only a few people, they climb up on the rooftops and the trees, they can escape, right? Otherwise, everyone's... That's why Lord Chaitanya, everyone inundating, then he could pick out, okay, who's not got the mercy yet? You know, everybody was already flooded. Then he said, well, there's still these Mayavadis and there's the fishermen. Can you imagine? Right now, who hasn't got Krishna consciousness? Everybody. You know, who has got, right? So few people. But they were so complete that they could pick out, well, we didn't get the fishermen yet. Okay, what's our strategy for the fishermen? What's our strategy for the Mayavadis? But right now, you have an open playing field. Because the whole world is dry. But we have to bring this status, we have to flood it. And that we won't do, but Lord Chaitanya will do.
Will inundate the entire world and drown everyone, whether one be a gentleman, a rogue, or even lame, invalid, or blind. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 7:26.
So, I think there's at least hope for me, one of these qualifications, at least as the rogue. So everybody has the opportunity. I mean, I heard about the devotee who's the editor for the ISKCON World Review. He tells how he was to go to the temple with a tambourine drunk. And he would, during arti, he'd play his tambourine. They'd have to throw him out sometime. He was smelling so bad and through. So he came a little bit sober. I mean, not fully drunk, then he was allowed to come. And then after coming like that for a few months, he'd always liked the arti, something he less liked about the arti. Then he gave up his bad habits and he became a Prabhupada disciple. And he was a veteran. His one arm is cut off. So, you know, he was, got money from the government and he was couldn't do any work. So he just got into bad habits. So everybody can get the mercy by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. There will be inundation. We just have to be the instruments. It's like Arjuna fighting the war. This is, of course, our book distribution. This is Kamalapati Das. He's on the charts for the big sets. So we'd give so many books to everyone that's planting the seeds. And so the idea is now to finish up the inundation.
When the five members of the Panchatattva saw the entire world drowned in love of Godhead, and the seed of material enjoyment in the living entities completely destroyed, they all became exceedingly happy. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 7:27.
So if we can get people involved in Krishna consciousness, if we can get them to achieve all the things you've written down here, then their seed of material enjoyment gets flooded out. And then they become happy, and when they're happy, Lord Chaitanya is very happy to see the whole world happy. We're really, what we're about, we're giving the message how to make people happy. Here's our Namhatta in Mayapur, a small portion of them. Every year we have a big regional meeting, and they come on, 3,000 came last year after the festival. It was like, we just had 3,000 leave for the, they all left, and 2 days later all the Namhattis came, stayed in the same tents. They didn't like the tents either. They liked the grass huts better. And they're doing parikrama around the park, and we asked, stop, photo. So they sat down. So it's so They come with the kids, everybody, they're fired up.
The Krishna consciousness movement is not stereotyped or stagnant. It will spread all over the world in spite of all objection by fools and rascals. It is an indication that the world will be inundated with Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya
Charitamrita. So anybody that says it can't be done, they fit under this category over here. Fools and rascals. It's just a question of how. It's not a question it can't be done because in Germany we're too reserved, and you know we don't, and in Belgium, well, because most of the devotees don't speak French, or because this, they're always everywhere, they got an excuse. You know, it doesn't matter where, just, you know, and then in another place we're too poor, we don't have any money, or it's just a question that we can't be stereotyped or stagnant. We have to be active. Krishna will reveal how. We have the process, we have the method, and then Krishna will reveal the details. And every place little details are different. That's where we're not stereotyped. There'll be ways to reach the people. We just have to go on forward and implement it.
Activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are just like an ocean of nectar. A drop of this ocean can inundate all the three births until Lila 588. Purpose. To inundate the three births with nectar is the purpose of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The present Krishna consciousness movement is non-different from the pastimes performed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was personally present. For the same principles are being followed and the same actions performed without fail.
So you're all part of these pastimes. This is how Nityananda Prabhu went back. He went back with 12 or 15 devotees. And Lord Chaitanya said, I want you to completely finish. Of course, there are a few devotees left in Bengal. But he organized his Namhattas through big kirtans. What he did is this kirtan. Kirtan. For 3 months, he did one round-the-clock kirtan. That's another pastime we can discuss someday. But, I mean, everywhere might be different. I mean, the Gauranga Bachchan band had a big effect in some parts of Europe, and it may be different. We're not stereotyped, but this, all the pastimes of the Lord, how to spread Krishna consciousness is one of his leelas. It's like Krishna, he wanted help to go and tend the cows, and so all the cowherd boys would come with him. And now Nityananda Gauranga, they say they want help. They want to bring back these fallen souls. So this is our service. His prediction, the whole world, every town or village will be reached, so the pastimes are still on. The work is still underway. And that's what's so wonderful. So Prabhupada wanted it, started it, and he wants us, we should complete it. So now how do we do? How do we see this inundation? Hare Krishna, very good. He's not on my payroll. Yes, through the combined effort of all the devotees, and we can see we can really reach, when we get all the devotees, all the congregation also involved, and we can involve them all through the Namhattas, then we can actually really start to flood things much quicker. It's like the missing link. Why is it we have so many books out but not so many people coming? We don't have the follow-up. We don't have the program to involve all those people. Once you make the program, Some places, people go start a temple. Where do people come from? It's like, just merely some people come and help. As soon as you start the right program, and you have a program, Krishna sends you the right people that can participate in that program. Where they're going to come from, you won't even be able to imagine. But if you don't have the program, why Krishna will send them? Because you know then that it will just be burned out. So, all of them ready for the inundation? Hariva! This is just a short overview, especially focused on the people in leadership positions in ISKCON. But I'm sure that all the members who are not in a leadership position, you can relay this message to them. What person is most successful for congregational preaching? You. Okay, this is especially for whoever is taking who's got the responsibility and who's ever the local leader That is especially important because because we're going to tell you why it's important. But can you tell why it's important? Why is it important that the local people organizing and the local leadership is behind the congregational preaching? Because if you're a leader, you need to be behind. And if you're not a leader, you need to get your leader behind it. That's the basic point. Why do you think it's important? You won't get manpower. What else? Say you got enough manpower, then financial resources. Say that you're generating your money from the congregation.
Encourage inspiration.
You can't buy that with money. The whole authorization, you know, if you can really be doing something, and if the authority is ignoring it, doesn't give it importance, and the other devotee, you know, it's like working, like climbing a mountain. You want to get something done. Little things, you need the typewriter, you need the this, and So then you know, it's going to be very difficult to get anything. You need that approval. It's very significant amongst the devotee community. Anything else? Come on top of your head. You got to get the local leader behind. We want to build a congregation, not just, you know, build a congregation. We want to, what did we do? What was the word yesterday? We quoted from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Flood, inundation, ki, gori thai ki. I take this opportunity to offer my obeisances to His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who's present here for the seminar. Also to C.C. Gaur Nitai and the previous acharyas, and to all of the Vaishnavas present. Hare Krishna. So we already went why you're essential. We're going to give importance to the whole program. You want the congregation needs to feel it's important, because they're going to be giving a lot of time and energy, the devotees, whatever manpower or things. So giving importance is important. To provide a vision. Actually, this program can completely change the whole development of ISKCON into a very unbelievably inundation. So it needs some vision also to overcome different problems, to make sure that you get the right leader. The worst thing is you get enough people, you're going, and then because the leader is not into it, he pulls one of your key preachers. Or as a leader, you have to know this is like a long-range program. So it's going to take many years. So you say, how many men can I spare for 10 years, for the next 5 years? Because in the first couple of years, you just see a little bit. I mean, depending, in Croatia, they're seeing quite a lot just in a short time. But I would say, you don't want to give too many people that you can't spare. You don't want to give not enough people that it won't happen. So for crossing hurdles, local leaders are important. Might have to set an example. Very important that the leader sets an example about congregational preaching. Another thing for leaders is very important that you get experience about this. In fact, it's generally recommended that a local leader lead, if he has the time, lead a Namhata group until it grows and multiplies, just to get experience. Because in the future when it grows, you're not going to have to deal with day-to-day problems. But if there's some hurdle, some question comes up, if you've already done it and it's ecstatic, it's like a great break from the day-to-day routine of managing a temple. I know a temple president like in Jaipur, he's personally leading a Namhata group, and he's very ecstatic about it. And that way he can better train other leaders of Namhata, because he's already doing it. So it's really good for gaining experience. And we want to unify our strategy, preaching. So for that, the leader is important. This is why essential they have him behind. And if he's not with it, then what's the problem? So if you're not with it, then we have low priorities given to the Namhat preaching. There's a kind of a vision vacuum, how actually the whole thing should develop. Sometimes there's leadership crises. They don't get the leaders that they need to train the Namhat people and to implement it. Whole thing might not even happen. Worst thing is you start something, it doesn't happen, because you've just given it to somebody and they didn't get the backup. So for those who aren't leaders, it's good to go ahead, already know what you need, this is what I'm going to need to get it done, and have it written down, get it signed by the temple board or the leader, let them agree. And if you're a leader, to know, okay, I have to give a certain minimum attention, like a baby or something, otherwise it's going to be these problems. If the leader is not taking it, not in it, or people might not take it seriously, oh, that's just so-and-so's trip.
they're into this thing. Something like that. Whatever, you know, however Maya wants to. So the experience might not be as it should be because of a neglect. There might be strategy conflicts between other programs. Instead of a unified approach, it might be all fighting for the same things what's not needed. So what does a leader need to do? Should just give some personal interest? Should preach and promote the whole program? It's like in Bangalore, they're building the price tag now is about 130 million rupees. That's something like, say, $4 million, which in India, which is quite a lot in India. Project with 40 devotees out non-stop doing a marathon collecting. And in the middle of that, he started the Namhata Sal Bhakti Brands program. Because he's preaching and promoting, he's taking it, but he's delegated it. Sure, he's delegated it to someone else to do the hands-on management of it, his vice president. Because he sees that once the temple's finished, he's going to need tons of people. It's just like in South Africa, he's going to need a lot of people to do all the things. And if he has this in this time now, if they all get into the groups, he'll have so much manpower available. So what he goes to the big meetings and he promotes it and he, you know, but he's not like, you know, there in every group meeting. He's completely over his head and major responsibilities. But he's giving enough interest in preaching and promoting that everyone knows that he's behind it. So, and he, first of all, before he even started it, he learned the whole thing. We had a seminar just for his leaders of the temple, and they all learned it. And once they digested it, and he refined it, and he got it just the way he wanted for his temple, then he started it. So later on, the daily nitty-gritty, once the thing is started, you know, and of course some temples, they only focus on this, and the president might make this his major program, but generally, the day-to-day things will be dealt with by others, and the president won't have to deal with it, but he has to give this kind of an input. He has to hear regular reports. He has to be involved in the planning, especially when you want to build that new big stadium for 25,000 people for $5 million. Ah, it's not much. You got 25,000 people that contribute. What is that per head? $100 a head would be $200 a head. Build a $5 million stadium. But maybe you want to rent a stadium instead for the first few years and then build one when you have 50,000. Leader needs to appreciate and reward. This is Maharaj brought up. Giving people appreciation. Just to, even if they just take a personal interest, they have some big meetings and leaders appreciate it. It's very good and announces. In fact, I've been asking some devotees about having some kind of a Sankirtan newsletter, kind of a congregational preaching newsletter, where we actually put numbers and we record like the progress, maybe not every month, but every quarter or so, so people can see. But I haven't really figured out, maybe we can have a brainstorming session since we have so many preachers here, how that could be possible. You can just think about it in the next couple of days if there's some way of doing that in such a way. We don't want to be petty and cheap, but something that's be real and encouraging. So we can appreciate and get inspired from the people that are actually doing something significant. So, yeah, I'm trying to flatter the leaders, of course, because we have here both leaders and just preachers. Everybody's actually a visionary. I got a separate one like this for the congregation, so don't get too puffed up. But whoever it may be, one thing is that, you know the principle Guru Datta Desh? You know what that means? Anyone doesn't know what it means? Okay, Guru Datta Desh. Desha, of course, he would write it Desha, so everyone knows what Desha means, right? What does Desha mean? The place, the land. The situation. Guru is the spiritual master. And Datta means given. The land given by the Guru or the place given by the Guru. So that if someone takes it that, for instance, a leader of a president of a temple, that whole area around their temple is their Guru Datta Desh. That's the land that was given to them by the Guru to preach. And the whole principle of Guru Datta Desh, just like Lord Chaitanya said, Jari Dako Tariko Krishna Upadesh Amagya Guru Hoya Taro E Desh. That on my order you be a spiritual master, and everyone you meet you tell about Krishna, and you deliver this land, this place. So Guru Dharadesh also goes for all the preachers, and even the Namhad group leader may be given one neighborhood. This is their Guru Dharadesh. They have to try to give Krishna consciousness to people in that neighborhood. I had an interesting story I read in my research about this cell program. One Christian lady was given as her kind of Guru Dharadesh, of course, assignment by the priest to try to deliver one huge modern 26-story condominium and establish Namhatas, or well, they don't do Namhat, they do cell church cells there. So she tried to go there, but it had this big, it was high class, so they had the video cameras and the security, no entrance, can't go in. So the only way she'd get in, she rented an apartment there. But even she rented an apartment, it's so impersonal in these big modern condominiums, nobody talks to anybody. She could never meet anybody, you know, except in a parking lot or something. So what she started doing is riding up and down the elevator. She spent a whole day, 8 hours in the elevator, you know, whenever had spare time, going up and down just to meet somebody. And one day a lady came. It was like, you know, she's praying to God, God sent me someone. It's like some kind of a Sankirtan devotee or something. I was just like praying. And some lady comes in with the dog and the kid crying and the big grocery, you know, the whole scene. And then she said, "Can I help you?" Yeah, man, this is like the groceries falling and the kids cry. Okay, yeah, sure, you know. Because it's really trying to, you know, push the button and the whole thing. So she took that bag and then took her up into the house. And because she was nice and carried the bag, said, you know, "Oh, you know, please come in, you know." And then they said, "What would I like to, I'm just new here. I'm in, you know, room 13th floor, you know, 25. And maybe sometime we can have tea together." "Oh, yes, it'd be nice." And, you know, so like that. So they met. So finally she met somebody. They had tea. After a little over tea, then she said, "You know, actually, I found something that changed my life." And, you know, then the whole rap, you know. Anyway. And that was the beginning. They had two people up and down the elevator. And then by the time I got the book, they said they had six cell groups in that condominium. I mean, we know that their message is kind of really sentimental and just very basic God consciousness. But I had to admit, you know, when I read that, I was impressed. It's determination. If a guru gives a, "Deliver this condominium," I guess you need that kind of a determination. So Prabhupada, his desire, just like he told the president in Chosica Temple, "I want you," or La Cienega, in 1968, "Deliver this neighborhood. I want them all initiated." I have a beautiful quote with Prabhupada. Someone said, "Prabhupada, there's 500,000 villages in India." And Prabhupada said, "I want them all to be Hare Krishna." See, if you would go to Prabhupada and say, "There's 54,000 villages in Germany and 2,300 cities," you know, I'm sure he'd say, "Get them all chanting Hare Krishna," right? Any doubt? Chaitanya's vision, right? Prithivi te aache jatanagra diga. See, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he predicted that the kirtan would be going in Prussia. In those days, I think there was no Germany, it was like Prussia. The whole Germany was like the whole Germany and Poland, northern Poland and all that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted that they'll be chanting Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan in Prussia. That must be why he gave you that name. Revelation. You have been sent by Bhaktivinoda Thakur to get the people to chant. Now we're getting embarrassed. Okay, anyway. I'm sorry, this. Settle ecstasy. So we have all these, but what happens is that the leader, the preachers, they need to take it up as their personal vision and mission. What is our vision for Krishna consciousness? How are we going to spread, how are we going to reach it to the people? Just like we discussed yesterday, a lot of practical things. We want an inundation. All right, but we don't. It's not a pie-in-the-sky thing. It will happen. But it happens very easily. Step by every year, double it. you double it, and then eventually you've just got such a huge, doubling is such a wonderful thing that pretty soon you reach inundation. But the goals are very easy. Whatever you have, everybody's engaged. So that, but that vision has to be the person's own vision. Not that, oh, Prabhupada wants this. Prabhupada is, I want this because Prabhupada wants this. It's my vision. Prabhupada wants the whole world, and I got my guru Dada Desh. It's Vienna, or it's Wiesbaden, or it's wherever it might be, or it's Amsterdam, or The Hague, or whatever. And then accordingly, the whole vision that's come down is applied to that area, and then the person, the leader, the preachers, they create this enthusiasm how to implement it. And then they inspire others, they awaken others, look at, we can do it, this is how to do it. And it has an infectious effect. You get this transcendental disease. Of course, the secret really is to equip and organize the congregation to fulfill Lord Chaitanya's order, because they're the one that's going to do the preaching. We preach to the congregation to get them to preach. When they start preaching, it may take 2 or 3 years of training, inspiration, but when they start bringing people, then you're going to see something really happen, unbelievable. Because as they start preaching, as all of our devotees outside take up and they're preaching, then it just multiplies unlimitedly. So this is the where to the long range, because it takes us a couple of years maybe to train them up, organize them, get everyone into it. But once they start doing it, then it really takes off big. So we, how that happens, we see to the individual's Krishna conscious development. They become spiritually enlivened, they become fixed, and they become active. When they're fixed, when they're Krishna conscious, then naturally they become empowered, committed, and blissful. It's just natural. And when they get empowered, then what happens? Then they start preaching. So the key for how do we give that training, we already discussed yesterday, is our bhakti brand cell groups. They're the key to untap the small group potential that we can give individual care, even no matter how many hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of people might be in the congregation. Right? Everybody's still convinced about the key from yesterday? So, you're all essential. Why are you essential? Remember why? Anyone remember why? Saraswati?
To give the example, he wants to inspire faith,
won't get done through us. That's for sure. Anyone else remember why you're essential? Inundation everywhere. Well, everybody. Everybody is part of the whole flood. That's another aspect. But you, because you've already been given the mercy of Prabhupada's teachings, is very important. I mean, it's essential that you all get it moving.